Okay, so my name is Daniel. I work at NXP. I'm part of the Linux BSP team. Does anyone know here what BSP means? Yeah, okay, so it's board support package team that we take care of enabling the board. We just get the board from the factory and we put Linux on it and we make sure that the basic functions work. It boots to the prompt. Then we take care of audio, video, and other stuff. Traditionally, i.mx and embedded platforms have used proprietary firmware, right? And we'll see why sometimes proprietary firmware is not that good for enabling boards, for starting up the boards, and we'll see other reasons later. And here I will be talking about this project, Sound Open Firmware. Every one of you who is now using a Linux laptop is using Sound Open Firmware. Most likely, if you are using a common distribution of Linux, most of them enabled Sound Open Firmware by default for audio. So I don't know if you've seen lately that your problems with audio have increased or not, because sometimes audio can be painful, right? Yeah. Now, the project is hosted on GitHub. The development takes place exclusively on GitHub. This is the what we wanted from first. No development to take place under the scenes. It's an open source firmware and Linux drivers infrastructure. It was announced in 2018 by Intel at the Embedded Linux conference, and it has this open license model. The firmware, which usually runs on a secondary core, most of the time is a DSP, has this BSD3 close MIT license, and the Linux drivers have dual license for GPLv2 and BSD3 close. This dual license model for Linux is done because most of the peripheral, audio peripheral drivers are switched to the firmware. So in order to be able to integrate them easily, most of them have this dual license. So you just can take the code from one side to another. And you don't want GPL in your firmware. Now we'll get to this philosophical question. Why do we need an open source solution? Most of the time when we work with firmware teams, they were just closed teams, and you don't even, when you had a problem, it was very hard to debug. You didn't know what happened there. You just know some interface with the firmware, and that's all. In order to debug the problem, you need to reach the firmware team, which usually is closed. And the documentation most of the time is missing. And at that time, I think it was around 2015, Intel went with this idea of open sourcing their firmware. And one other reason is that there is a lot of growth in the voice-controlled-based devices. Devices from Amazon, from Google, and from other companies are growing. And having a way of quickly enabling your solution rapidly on them would benefit if you have some open firmware. Now, what are the key features of the Sound Open Firmware which were stated from the beginning? The firmware should be agnostic from the DSP architecture and platform. Like, for example, how Linux is. You can have Linux on any kind of architecture and platform. Because the project was started by people working with Linux, most of the architecture of the Sound Open Firmware follows the Linux kernel architecture, with layers and with generic core parts and with subsystems. And then each platform just needs to write their own specific driver and the entire system just works. We started with the DSP from Cadence, with the Extensa architecture. So we started with an open OS named Extensa OS. Obviously, that worked only on Extensa architecture. But then we find out about Zephyr. How many of you here have heard of Zephyr or working with Zephyr? Okay, that's great. We are in the right room. And switching to Zephyr allowed us to put SOF not only on the Extensa DSPs that we have. We are now experimenting with i.MX to move the SOF firmware on ARM cores, either M4, M7, or A cores. And this is very easy because we have Zephyr, which already supports it, these platforms. Now, the host application process, the solution should be host application processor architecture agnostic. It works on Intel, it works on x86, AMD, ARM with NXP, MediaTek. We'll see later who the contributors are. Then, while you have this solution open, you are able to modify the audio pipeline. Right. You can insert your own components, and SoundOpen firmware has this modular way of creating pipelines that you can create adapters. So if you have closed algorithms, like if you have a closed echo cancellation algorithm, you just need to have an interface to your closed algorithm, and you can plug it in an audio pipeline. And another thing that is now in progress, and it helps us a lot with proprietary algorithms, is that we are able to dynamically load modules, right? So you don't have to link your algorithm with the firmware code. I think also Zephyr tries to do this. And I think SoundOpen firmware is more advanced with it. I mean, we have code that it's actually running and it's working. The idea would be that once we completely switch to Zephyr, to implement this feature of dynamically loading modules inside Zephyr. Now, these are some simple components that are already supported in SoundOpen firmware, starting with some simple volume, equalizers, mixer, QR detector, and then we go to more complex components like audio echo cancellation, noise reduction, and compressed audio. For these complex parts, usually there are no open algorithms, or there are no good open algorithms, for example, to do an echo cancellation part. So what we do, we created a module adapter, this has an open interface, which calls into the closed source algorithm to do the processing. And I think this is one of the strengths of the SoundOpen firmware, that you can just use third-party components with your open source code and make it work. The main idea for us at NXP, at least, is to do very quick enabling of the boards. Like we do have the boards, we have the Linux, we have all the components there, and we can show to the customers very quick how this hardware works and what are the capabilities. And then, of course, mostly in the automotive world, people prefer to keep things a little bit more closed. But we will get there with them too, maybe in the future. Now, this is a simple architecture of the code. We have here two entities. We have the application processor, which usually runs Linux, and it could be ARM or x86. And on the right side, we have the